Yesterday, I wrote an article about the military. It was really an open letter to Joe Biden asking him to send the military down immediately, right now, as we speak. It should be already, should have been there 5 minutes ago. Okay. We're going to talk about that. But before, I want to do a quick programming note. We've been doing this now for, what, 11 months? A little bit over 11
almost
months?
A year, yeah.
Yeah, almost a year. And we've listened to our fans, our show watchers, viewers, listeners, whatever. And many of you have said, look, stop doing these hour and 30 minute shows with 15 segments. Just break it down each segment into a standalone podcast. And that means you have to do 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 podcasts a day. So be it. You'd rather be able to isolate each individual show based on topic. So every show gets one topic. And that also means that we are going to be shelving, not ending, but shelving conservative playbook, conservative news briefs, non-compliant America, Freedom Discourse, and the Rucker Report. Yes, these are all podcasts that we were doing. And that's the other thing we heard back. Stop doing so many different podcasts. Just consolidate. So Knock Report is our new home, our old home and new home. It's our only home. This is the only place we're going to be. You can find it at freedomfirstnetwork.com. Okay. And of course, you can find it at noqreport.com. So yeah, exciting, exciting stuff. Now's the part where I introduce my lovely, brilliant, talented, and much more better organized than me, co-host and wife. Much more better. Organized than me, co-host and wife, Tammy. Say hi, Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
So, yeah. Giggle, giggle. So, military to the border. You read the article. You already said that it was brilliant and amazing and all that stuff, but you're saying that to my face. Now tell the audience what you thought and what you think of the idea of sending the military to the border.
Well, it seems like it's pretty drastic. That's a dramatic response. However, the situation at the border is pretty drastic. It's pretty dramatic. So I think you made a good point that this isn't necessarily about illegal immigration. This is much more.
This is an invasion.
Yeah.
Okay. This is an invasion. People will say you can't send troops because troops can't participate in law enforcement on domestic soil and yada, yada, yada. And this is true. We're not talking about law enforcement. Okay. We're talking about foreign nationals breaching our border. And that, by the very definition of what military has always been about, this is what the military is for. Okay. Now, under normal circumstances, we have Customs and Border Protection, we have Department of Homeland Security, we have city, state, and local law enforcement that can usually handle all this stuff. But they can't handle this.
No.
This is far beyond their scope, their scale, their manpower.
Very, very much overwhelmed.
They are overwhelmed. They can't keep up. Okay? And it's only going to get worse.
And we don't even know the full scope because they're not allowing people to go in and, as we were talking about yesterday, journalists are being kicked out and they're not being allowed to not only photograph, but to inquire. So it's a pretty bad situation.
They're lying to us. Mm-hmm. Jen Psaki, you could tell, she's got to be the most stressed out person in the White House because it is her job to go in front of the American people every day and lie to our faces. And she knows that we know that she's lying. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I hate to say it. I didn't feel bad for Kaylee McEnany or whatever her name is because she could handle this stuff and she didn't have to lie. Definitely didn't feel bad about Sarah Huckabee Sanders because she was very good at what she did. She didn't have to lie.
Right.
You know, Sean Spicer. Okay. So I like Sean. I'm just kidding. I actually liked him. He was a good first guy. And then you remember who the fourth, he was the second, but the other guy was.
No, I don't remember his name. I know his face. I can't remember his name.
Nobody remembers his name. Scaramucci.
Mm.
He was the press secretary for, what, 10 days?
Something like that, yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
He was terrible. Anyway. Well, there's actually another one, too. I forgot.
Anyway.
But she never actually held any press conferences. I forgot her name, too. It's late, so my brain isn't all there. Long story short is we are faced with an existential threat.
Yes.
at the border, and it must be handled.
So can you say how would this work? So why don't we military?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's a good question. That's a great question. I don't know.
Okay.
I just know, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, how would it, are you saying logistically that I don't know, you know, you position them and you give them assignments and they do what they're supposed to do, you know, and they're very good at their job.
Yeah. Cause but we don't really have a point of reference, right? We don't really know how it would unfold.
We don't know. We don't know. We've never, you know, not since the...
It's unprecedented, but again, this is...
Not since the Revolutionary War have we had foreign invaders in our lands.
Yeah.
So you could say the Civil War, but you know, we generally fight our wars elsewhere. This is a war, okay? This is a war against an incursion that has gone beyond just the legalities of migration and asylum and legal immigration or illegal immigration.
Very true.
Okay. We're talking about a mass of people that will fundamentally change the United States of America. And I'm not just talking about the economy.
Well, we want to also stress that it's not just for the sake of the American people, which is first and foremost, but it's also for the sake of the mic. I mean, we're talking about people coming over and risking their lives. And we know that this is the story. This
do you
want to
read the
story.
Article?
If you want me to, I sure will.
Well, I would love for you to, but do you want to? This is about choice, woman.
Anyway, we've seen pictures of them taking risks, that is in the past, but we've heard some pretty really bad horror stories.
Really bad horror
stories.
Yeah,
because we know that before Trump really cracked down on the border and really got it under control, we did hear stories about children being kidnapped and being...
2019 was awful.
Yeah. And, you know,
2018 was awful
for sex trafficking. I mean, this was one of the biggest issues that.
But it all got better
once we had policies in place. And they at least, yeah, they had it under control. And then, of course, Biden within 2 months. I mean, this is.
Oh, from day one, don't even get me started.
Show
yeah,
that he's done down there that it's made it to where these children.
Yeah, that's the name of their next pod. We should start a new podcast called The Bleep Show.
Yeah.
We need more.
So the kids, though, man,
Think of the children. Why don't you read the article?
Okay. This is an open letter to the person responsible for the current border crisis. It is my hope that he and others will respond to the situation with the seriousness, haste, and determination necessary to save our nation, because what we are seeing is an existential threat.
Before, do you want me to read it?
I got it. I'm good. Before explaining the steps necessary to prevent our country's demise, let's examine what we are faced with at the border. The fact that so little information is coming from Customs and Border Protection or their overseers in the Department of Homeland Security leads me to believe the crisis that we see is nowhere near as bad as the realities on the ground. For every 1,000 migrants reportedly being held beyond their legal limits, there are likely 10,000 more that are not being reported. And that means countless are being released to their own recognizance.
Yes, recognizance.
I know, I just said it.
I know you did.
In defiance of state and national law, it is unofficial, under the table, and extraordinarily dangerous to both the migrants and the American people.
You know, one of the reasons that we always have her read is because I am Mr. Stutters when I read out loud.
Really tired.
And she's usually the right one, but it's almost 3 a.m. So let's just buzz through this. I'm going to continue reading this one time. Is that okay?
No, I can finish.
All right, you finish.
Wow. It was one word.
Two.
But there's a separate reason we need to close the floodgates. That has nothing to do with America. The journey these migrants embark upon is rife with physical and emotional dangers. Stories of rapes and abductions are so commonplace, it's practically expected. Unpublished reports from credible sources of what young children are experiencing on their journey are so hideous, I dare not repeat them, as doing so would add a shock value not necessary for this letter. Emotions can drive us to do good, but they can also drive us to act inappropriately. I'll share these gut-wrenching stories separately. For now, we must remain resolute and our focus on common sense solutions to the threat we now face. Whatever real... Do you mean to continue?
No, I think that's a good stopping point.
Yeah.
Recognizance.
I know. I just said it.
You did just say it. You did good. You did great. Yeah, I mean, listen. Look, man. And or as Obama would say, let me be perfectly clear about this. We're facing an existential threat at the border, something that must be addressed immediately. Why are you smiling?
I'm not.
You don't like me? You did.
I was smiling.
You don't like my Obama impersonation?
I think that was great. Continue.
It is an existential threat, but like she said, it's not just for our sake. It's for their sake. Listen, we have to look at this long term. Okay. The people that are coming across, many of them, and these are reports from sources at Customs and Border Protection. These children, sometimes adults, sometimes teens, many of them are broken from the journey. Okay. They knew that they were going to have a hard journey. They had no idea that they were going to be put through the horrors that they were put through. Any parent who sends their child on this journey thinking, oh, they'll have a better life, that's not the case. They're not going to have a better life. Their lives have been irreversibly destroyed by the journey to the border. Once they make it here, if they make it here, if they're not kidnapped and sold, if they do make it here, they're going to grow up broken. This is not an experience that anybody should go through, especially children, especially women. You know, I mean, it's really, really bad. And the thing that we're looking at, when I say we need to look at this long term, these people who are being broken on their way here, and then when they get here, they're put into essentially bins where they're given a burrito solar jacket, you know, aluminum foil looking blanket.
It's a warming blanket.
Warming blanket to wrap around them. They lay on the floor with nothing really to do. Okay.
And no, even let's say the conditions were great. It's like sardines.
Yeah.
And you know, it was reported. We obviously are not able to confirm this, but it was reported that there were like 50 positive cases of coronavirus. And you know, who knows? I mean, they're literally in these plastic bins or these plastic holding cells, excuse me, with plastic drapes. You know,
stopping.
And all of them were just laying down. I mean, no one was.
It was probably taken at night for a fact, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they were all covered up.
Because they had chairs. There was one guy sitting on a chair in one of the pictures.
Yeah, but I mean, it was still disturbing.
It was really bad.
And they were regardless of who is in charge at the, you know, if this was under Trump, it would still be disturbing.
It would definitely. And we, listen, I took a tweet, you know, somebody commented, oh, now you, all of a sudden we've been fighting this for years. And now all of a sudden you guys are
fighting for years. Give me a break.
Well, that's what
this hasn't been going on for years.
Technically speaking, well, some of it like has, this.
The border situation has been going on for years. And there's been some, I'm sure, some overlooked things that have been atrocious. But this, I mean, going from having it under
control, never been this bad.
It's never been like this.
It's never been this bad this instantly. And here's the thing. The two reasons we need to send troops to the border immediately. Number one, the obvious. We need to stop the floodgates. We need to close the floodgates. But there's a bigger reason. And that's if we don't dissuade the upcoming migrants. Guys, we haven't seen the worst of it yet.
Right. There's still caravans.
Oh, the caravans are going to get big and bigger and biggest.
Yeah,
in spring and summer and into fall.
Starting to change.
Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing is the results of this is just, hey, we think it's going to be good, so let's just go up there. But the second wave and the third wave, the wave that gets to see, hey, yeah, you know, my cousin Billy, he made it up there. He did the long trek, okay? He didn't know mention that, yeah, he was sexually abused a few times, but he's now in America and they let him go. Okay, so get your family, get your bags together. Let's go, guys. This second and third wave is going to dwarf what we're seeing today. And that's the reason why we have to send the message immediately. That message can't be Joe Biden saying, hey, guys, don't come, okay, because nobody's going to listen to him. It can't be, you know, anybody in politics. This needs to be the military. And people will say, that's drastic, that's traumatic. Right now, we are facing a drastic, dramatic, dangerous, existential threat to the United States. This will engulf us.
Well,
it will take away our nation.
you heard the report that today Biden closed the borders.
Yesterday.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yesterday that Biden closed the borders, supposedly.
I didn't even know they were open. I thought he supposedly didn't open the borders. Yeah, good stuff. We do have a news update, and this is something that new. We've done it once. It was good. And basically, we're going to be piggybacking off of our good friends, the two Mikes, Colonel Mike and Dr. Michael Scheuer. They their show is more popular than ours. So we're going to, I said, hey, why don't you guys do part of our show and then bring your crowd over? So anyway, so they have a news update. I have no idea what they're going to say. I haven't heard it yet. So hopefully it's at least semi-relevant. Otherwise, we're excited to go. So you ready for them? Mm-hmm. Have you heard them? Did you hear the first one? The first update?
I didn't. Okay. Actually, no. I've been busy.
Good. We'll get to hear for the first time together right now.
Hey, good morning. You're on with two Mikes, Dr. Michael Scheuer and Colonel Mike. And this is one of our Freedom First Network updates. Today is Monday, March 22nd. Boy, every day is another day in America. And the news is wild. Michael Scheuer, Dr. Michael Scheuer, found a clip this morning on BitChute. He's going to tell you about it. We're going to play it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not banging the doors of your congressmen, your senators, your local people, I don't want to hear about, you know, Trump 2020, 2024, 20. I don't want to hear it anymore. It's just, you got to now get into play and act. Mike, tell us what this BitChute video is about.
Well, it's by a guy named Martin Burdell, and he's been on the air for quite a while, and he's very good at running down news stories from all over the place. But this one is about a gentleman who had his house raided by the FBI because he happened to be on Capitol Hill on the 6th of January this year, and it might be worth listening to for people to hear what happened to this guy for
Let's play it. So Mike's our producer today. Steve's not in. Colonel Mike is not going to do anything. It's Mike is the producer. Dr. Michael Scheuer, hit it.
Here we go.
And it certainly did not help her at all. Christopher Kuhn maintains that he had traveled to the Capitol to protect Trump supporting civilians from Antifa inside the Capitol. He was seen on video cleaning up trash before, he says, he helped to clear people out so police could get control of the situation. And it says in the early morning of February 11th, Kuhn, his pregnant wife Annette, and their four-year-old child were awakened to sirens, cell phone rings, and bursts of colorful lights reflecting through their windows. And it says the FBI instructed Chris to come outside immediately. Our four-year-old was awakened from the chaos. I picked him up and ran downstairs to open the front door. Our house was completely surrounded by armed FBI and law enforcement and armed tactical vehicles and police vehicles that extended throughout the community. For a second, I didn't realize that there were about 20 FBI SWAT team members with semi-automatic rifles pointed at my son, and because I was distracted by the bright lasers pointed at our faces, chest, and various parts on my four-year-old. Annette wrote in a statement provided to the Gateway Pundit. Annette wrote that there was a bite in the air, snow still on the ground. Our four-year-old was crying, and with the guns drawn, FBI SWAT stormed through as I carried my son barefoot in the cold. Hours later, after the FBI left our home, I found myself on the phone calling anyone I could think of for help. Neighbors contacted me to ask if I needed anything, as I was in shock from what had just happened. I didn't realize what else was happening, as if this isn't enough. The following day, she went to the hospital because she was feeling a sharp pain in her abdomen and bleeding. It was the baby. While in the doctor's office, a nurse comes into the room and tells me that I need to have emergency surgery or I will bleed to death. She then escorts me to the emergency department. I lost the baby, she said.
Oh, my gosh.
Crazy.
Well, the world's greatest law enforcement organization in action there, Colonel.
Well, you know,
another dead person they can put on their trophy shelf.
You know, this is, it seems to me, this is now systematic KGB Stasi operations against Republicans, Tea Party, Trump supporter, MAGA people.
Babies in the womb now, too.
What is that?
Babies in the womb now, too.
Yes. Well, again, these are the pro-choice, pro-death people, right?
Yeah.
So killing a baby is nothing to them. You know, they do it for a living. They support it to what? $300-400 million a year. So now the baby is no longer even safe in the mother's womb in a Republican home. You have 20 members of a SWAT team, a raid that would, it calls for like a cartel leader, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
But you know what I noticed, Mike? This never took place when Obama was president with any Democrats. This never took place with Trump when we knew the spying was going on, right, with all the agencies around the world and with the Clinton, with the dossier. None of this stuff took place at Mark Warner's house. None of this stuff took place at Clinton's house. None of this stuff takes place at Democrats. So what we have now is a loaded up FBI, which is a KGB Stasi organization for the Democrats. And that segues right into what I was going to talk about today, which is now on Epoch Times. And we give them the shout because they wrote it. OK. Evidence in the Capitol breach could support sedition act against those people who are charged. And this is coming from acting U.S. Attorney Michael Sherwin, S-H-E-R-W-I-N, in the U.S. Attorney's Office. So while Bill Barr, you know, Bill Barr, like Bob Barker, Bill Barr was there telling you nothing to see, nothing to, don't worry about it, we'll do it after this, and John Durham and Bull Durham and North Carolina and Smoking Winston's or whatever, all that show was just a show. And then, you know, everybody said, listen, Mark Levin's of the world were like, He's pristine. I know Bill Barr. Now, and you remember there was a guy named Joe DeGeneva who would be on WMAL in Washington almost every other week, right? Or every day, talking about, hey, I know Bill Barr. He's going to get the job done. Have you heard from Joe DeGeneva in the last 3 months, Mike? Anybody remember his name? Victoria Tongsting? Anybody remember their names? Remember them? Yeah. And Bill Barr, where is he? He's probably in a lobby shop. Now, here's another thing on the news update. Okay. Third thing and last thing I want to say, unless Dr. Mashur wants to jump in. There's a lady by the name of Araceli Hernandez. Now, you may not know her name. She's not a rapper. She's not a Latina Grammy star. In fact, she's not even a school teacher. Guess what? You know how you'll remember her name? She was the lady who was kidnapped and brutally beaten with a gun and held up while they tried to steal her house looking for drugs and money. And the brutal home invader, his name was George Floyd. George Floyd.
Is that the guy that died from fentanyl and all that stuff?
Fentanyl, you know, heart problems. But St. George Floyd now may even get a school named after him in the Commonwealth of Virginia. So I thought I'd bring her name up so people would know who she is, because I think at this point she gets a good lawyer and she files a civil suit against that $20+ million settlement his family got, from St. George's death that had nothing to do with the police. OK, or, you know, at least give her a post office, a bridge, maybe name an elementary school after her. Or you know what? The next, Navy ship that cost a gazillion dollars, call it the USS Araceli. You know what I mean? We can have a memory that way. Mike, that's it.
Hernandez, huh?
Araceli Hernandez.
Araceli young woman. Hernandez.
Home invader. Hey,
yeah.
It's like you're going to call the termite guy, you know, hey, come and fix the pest. We got home invaders under the foundation. It's always good having you on. And you're on the Freedom First Network. That's the update. Mike, last word.
Colonel, is that the case where Floyd put his pistol against her belly and wanted to know if she wanted her baby killed?
Yes, that's the case.
That's the one, isn't it? Yeah, he's a hero, I guess. Yeah, that by any stretch.
And I'm sure all the Black caucus members in Congress wouldn't even shed a tear because she was a Latina who was a nobody.
I guess Hispanic lives don't matter.
Nope. Hispanic lives, no, they don't matter. If you're not BLM, you're not with, down with the B. What is it? What we used to eat? BLT?
BLT.
Bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Hey, that's it for Two Mics. Have a great week. We'll be back towards the end of the week. And again, freedomfirstnetwork.com, freedomfirstcoffee.com, and ffn.locals.com. Talk to you soon. Bye, Mike.
See you, Colonel.